I want to consider one very important concept tonight. One idea, one aspect in particular that has to do with Good Friday, with the cross, with Christ being crucified and shedding His blood. It appears very clearly in 2 Corinthians 5:21, which says, "For our sake, He," and the first He there being God the Father, "made Him," that being Jesus, "to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." But what does that mean, that God the Father made Jesus to be sin? And answering that, I want to start with what's in the second half of the verse. "So that in Him we," and 2 Corinthians is written to Christians, to believers, to those who have faith in Jesus Christ. "So that in Him we who have faith in Christ might become the righteousness of God." Well, what is that? What is the righteousness of God? You probably think it means being innocent or sinless. And while that's part of it, that is not the whole story. Righteousness is not only talking about being guiltless or sinless. Imagine someone who was accused of doing a crime. You were at that store and you stole $500. Well, they get the video cameras out, they get the eyewitnesses, and they have a case, they try it in court, and the evidence doesn't add up. You didn't do it. He didn't do it. The person didn't do it. They're acquitted. They're innocent. They're not guilty of that crime. But that doesn't mean they're a righteous person. It doesn't mean they're a good person. It doesn't mean they're a law-abiding person. It doesn't mean they're morally excellent. It just means they're not guilty of that crime. And indeed, Jesus, in shedding His blood on the cross, and being the Passover Lamb, and being the once-for-all sacrifice, does cleanse His people. Through faith in Him, His people, we who have faith in Him, are cleansed of our sin. We are no longer counted as guilty. But to become the righteousness of God means more than that. It means to be seen by God as excellent, upright, as having fulfilled, accomplished, done everything according to God's will, as having obeyed Him perfectly, doing all that He desires. How do we become that? Through faith in Jesus. That's what Jesus was. That is what Jesus accomplished. He is the righteous one. He came to do the Father's will and He did it perfectly. Through faith in Him, His righteousness becomes our righteousness. It's counted as ours. It's laid upon us as if we are actually good, upright, excellent, perfectly obedient before God, having accomplished and done everything He requires. We haven't, of course. Jesus did. But we get that. We get His righteousness. We are made right before God, not simply by no longer being guilty of our sin, but the righteousness that Christ lived out through His perfect life and obedience, that becomes ours. It's kind of like if you were to have a really, 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 really bad disease that was excruciatingly painful, And it was a nasty, horrific disease, and you were going to die from it. And someone comes along, and they not only die the death that you should die because of that disease, but they give you their perfect health, youth, and vitality. Well, now we turn to the first part of the verse. What does it mean that God the Father made Jesus to be sin? Though He knew no sin, what does that mean? Made Him to be sin. Well, it's the flip side of what I was just talking about. It's the flip side of the latter half, the latter part of that verse. Not only does Jesus pay the price, not only does He take the punishment for our rebellion, our hatred of God, our disobedience, our evil doing, not only does He take the punishment for that, and by the shedding of His blood, make us clean from that, giving us His righteousness, but He takes our sin upon Himself as if it was actually His sin. And that little analogy that I'm sure failed in a number of ways, the person who gives you dying in that hideous sickness and disease, health, life, release from that disease and the death which it brings, not only dies the death that you're supposed to die, but takes every aspect of that disease upon Himself. As heinous as the scourging, the whipping with the leather whip, with the objects on the end of it, and the beating Him with the staff, and the crown of thorns, and the nailing Him to a cross and raising Him up so that He suffocated, as heinous and painful as that is, much more so was the suffering the Holy Lamb of God faced in not only taking the penalty for our sin, but actually taking our evil, our sin upon Himself. There's a couple other verses that indicate the same thing. Paul in Galatians says He became a curse for us. He became a curse for us. He didn't just take the curse for us. He became the curse for us. And in 1 Peter, Peter says He Himself bore our sins in His body. And I think we often too easily and too quickly assume that means, well, the punishment for our sins. By His stripes we are healed. It is more than that. It is more than that. He actually became the embodiment of our rebellion. He became an incarnation, if you will, to use that very same word referring to Jesus becoming God, becoming man in Jesus. On the cross, He was the incarnation of sin and rebellion. Not that He Himself ever committed a sin. What came up again and again there in Luke 23 as I read it? I know it was a long chapter. But what came up again and again? I find Him innocent. I find no guilt in Him. Even Pilate couldn't figure out a reason to put Him to death. Innocent. And yet took our guilt, and not only our guilt, but in His body, in His flesh, in Himself, bore our sin, became the curse, was made to be sin. Back to that little analogy. Let's imagine the person dying of that hideous disease is a terrible person. They have done unimaginably horrific things to people, to children. And in walks a child. What do we think of? We think of little children. We think innocent. They're not really, but we'll go with that. And they not only take the death that evil person is going to die because of the disease. They take the actual evil of that person upon themselves. As if that innocent child had committed all those heinous crimes. What do we do with little children when... This is getting less and less in our culture, but for the most part, loving parents, even parents with foul mouths who watch filthy things, will cover the eyes of children that they would not experience such things. Well, he who knew no sin, never once uttered a lie, a false thing, or even had a cross thought towards anyone else, was made to be sin. Embodied every ounce of our defiance and hatred for God. He took our sin. There's a big word that's often used. Our sin was imputed to Him. It was put upon Him and it became His. And His righteousness was imputed to us. It becomes ours. We who have faith in Christ, in Him, we become the righteousness of God because God made Him to actually be our sin. We can barely understand how offensive, how utterly horrific that must have been for the Holy Lamb of God. Imagining an innocent child taking upon the evil of some horrifically evil death row inmate barely scratches the surface. But that's what happened on Good Friday. That's what happened on the cross. Not only are we counted innocent through faith in Christ, we get His righteousness, His obedience, His perfection is counted to us, is put upon us as if it was actually ours. Because our evil, our sin was put upon Him as if it was actually His. That's what took place on the cross. We know that He was raised on the third day, which vindicated Him as doing exactly what He said He came to do, to offer His life as a ransom for many. That He was, that He is, exactly who He said He is, the Son of God. That He is exactly who John the Baptist said He was, and we just sang, the Lamb of God. Who takes away the sin of the world by becoming sin for His people. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, thank You. What we would consider to be a slight offense is utterly repulsive to You. And yet, Your Son took it all upon Himself. Every wicked thought, word, or deed that I, that we, that everyone who has faith in Him would ever commit. That through faith in Him, we can stand before You as if we had obeyed perfectly. We stand before You counted as not only innocent, but righteous. Thank you, Father in heaven, for your Lamb, for your spotless Lamb and His precious blood. Thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. May you work in our hearts and minds to more fully understand and more deeply value what took place on that Friday 2,000 years ago. In Jesus' name, amen.